Welcome to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm Tamara Keith.
And I'm Rob Sachs. And Tamara, I'd like to introduce today's topic with a clip.
You just want to marry me?
No. No, I don't just want to marry you. I want to marry you more than anyone's wanted to marry anyone in the history of the world.
Wow. That was Matthew Perry proposing in the movie The Whole Nine Yards. Did you catch that movie?
Missed that one.
Okay, but there's a colleague of mine. His name is Bracton Booker, and he just had one of those Hollywood proposals. Now, I put the whole long version of the proposal on the What Would Rob Do blog, but here's just a little taste of how he proposed to his now fiance, Corey.
Put the towel on the ground, get down on one knee, and she's like, oh, tears start flowing then, and bam, put the ring on her finger, whisk her away to her surprise party, and she's like, I can't believe you did all this for me.
So before that, there was a carriage ride, there was a massage, and there was a fancy dinner. So he really did it up.
So you're telling me a ring is not enough?
Well, no, I mean, the ring is important, don't get me wrong, but I feel like everyone wants to know about the story. And I was backed up by this by Millie Bratton. She's the editor-in-chief of Brides Magazine. And here's a few of the stories she's heard.
The man who found an old box and filled it with seashells and an old photo of a couple and an engagement ring and had a note that said, will you marry me, and placed it near a coral reef just where they were about to go snorkeling. One man made a will you marry me short film and convinced his local art house theater to play it. We've heard about a man who proposed over an intercom system on an airplane.
Now, that sounds like a scene from The Wedding Singer, which I love that movie more than anything.
I know, that was great. You know, Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore getting together. You're probably thinking of this song.
I'll get you medicine when your tummy aches. Build you a fire if the furnace breaks. Oh, it could be so nice growing old with you.
Yeah, that was really romantic. Now, is that the way it happened for you? You know, Ira proposing on an airplane with a guitar or something like that?
Not quite. he's a veterinarian, so you might already be able to guess where this is going. But so we got back from a dinner at TGI Fridays, and I'm highly thankful that he did not propose at TGI Fridays. And he, it was Valentine's Day, and I was ready for bed, and he was like, come here, look, the dog is doing a trick. Jezebel's doing a trick for you. And I'm like, great. And the ring was on her collar, and it was sparkling. And then I started crying, and, you know.
Well, that's very, very nice and sweet. So he went with the moment, just the two of you together, which I think is really nice. And that's actually the way I proposed to my wife, Anna. Because I did it in the dugout of my old Little League baseball field, because I thought it would be cool. But I feel like so many guys want to do the big, I'm going to propose in front of a complete group of strangers, and sometimes this can backfire. Here, I want to play you a little clip here.
Honey, honey, honey. Honey, will you marry me?
Okay, so that is a guy proposing at a Washington Wizards game, and then at the end, the announcer saying, oh no, because she's just ran off rejecting the guy in front of thousands of people. That's not so good, right?
No, that is horrible.
Well, thanks for competing in the Chevy Chase Bank Hot and Cold Contest. Looks like it ran just a little bit cold.
You know, I have a Jumbotron story for you if you have a second.
Yes.
I have a good friend, a girlfriend, who proposed to her now husband on a Jumbotron. So, totally role reversal and huge public embarrassment, potentially. It worked out.
That is totally cool, because I talked to Millie Bratton about women proposing, and she said, still not so common, but it is growing. But then I said, how do you do it? And she was like, well, you can't necessarily give the guy a ring, but she had this idea of something you could give.
A watch or something that's, a smaller gift between the two of them just to mark the day.
You want to give something to say, you know, that's my man, see the watch. He's taken.
So the engagement brought in beer isn't enough?
No. I mean, that would go over well with me, but I guess people want a symbol. Now, in Wales, the Welsh guys, all they do is they carve their women a spoon. there's an engagement spoon. I mean, some guys, I don't know how many people still follow that tradition, but traditionally you do a spoon.
And then you have like an engagement yogurt.
Yes.
Or something.
Exactly.
A celebratory yogurt.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, or some applesauce, anywhere you want to go with that. The other thing, though, that Millie Bratton was telling me was that one thing that is really nice is if there's a way for your family to not only get the information, but to be around you to celebrate. And this is something that Bracton was telling me was a big part of his plan.
I knew a lot of our family and friends that were anticipating this moment wanted to be a part of the celebration as well. So that's where I kind of got the idea to have a party afterwards, because so many people were excited about this moment and wanted to share it with us.
You know, I proposed at that old Little League field, but then when we came home, all my family was there because it happened to be the first night of Passover. So it was a Passover proposal, as I like to call it. The only problem with that is that we had to celebrate eating unleavened cake, which is kind of disgusting.
And kosher wine, I guess.
And, you know, gefilte fish. I mean, everyone had bad breath. The whole thing was, like, really weird, but it was nice that everyone was there, too.
Yeah, so do you have any regrets? You know, like, you hear Bracton's story, and it's kind of over-the-top amazing. Do you wish you could have done more? Is there a do-over in proposals?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, I hear Bracton, I'm like, wow. You know, the massage, the carriage ride, and I'm like shoveling gefilte fish in her mouth hours afterwards. I'm thinking, is there a way that I could have improved upon my proposal? And Millie Bratton of Brides Magazine, we talked this through, and here's what she told me.
It's never too often to hear that the person that you're married to loves you and would be thrilled to do it all over again, however you happen to say it.
So even if you really screwed up the first time, you have a chance to make it better, you know, at some point down the road.
I think that if you ask the question and the person says yes, you haven't really screwed it up too badly.
But I'm thinking, you know, maybe for a 5th anniversary or a 10th anniversary, I definitely could surprise her. I don't know if I'm going to go Jumbotron, but she just has to watch out, because I could spring something on her in any moment, you know, like, watch out, I'm going to propose again.
And it would be like, would you recommit to me?
Yeah, I don't even know what kind of ring I'd have to get for that. I mean, maybe this
big. Big. I think there are 3 diamonds involved in recommitments.
Oh, is that the case?
I think that's what they say on TV.
It goes up? I thought you could, like, just start getting goofy gifts, but now you're telling me no, the diamond quotient has to go up.
Escalation. It's all about escalation.
Maybe I'll wait for my 10-year anniversary then.
That sounds like a plan, Rob. Well, thanks for listening to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Trying Dilemmas. I'm Tamara Keith.
And I'm Rob Sachs.
Oh, I could be the man grows old with you.